Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome into the God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church, therefore the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fort Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen. Amen, brother. I'll let you finish before I gave you an amen.
You talk there for just a second. Let me adjust our camera here.
I can do that. It's good to be here today, and it's a little cooler and about the same as far as wet is concerned. But I was telling Michael out front there that this is a day like today is the answer of every West Texas farmer's prayer.
Yes.
They need a slow, steady rain. Their livelihoods depend on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so while ours is not exactly the same, it is good to get a steady rain. That way we don't have flooding as bad.
Yeah, exactly. Not like the people in South Carolina.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What a shame.
Our thoughts and our prayers.
What a shame. Yes, yeah. We're thinking about all those people when we approach God's throne of grace. We need to remember them.
Absolutely.
And sometimes our prayers we feel aren't doing any good or fall on deaf ears.
Or if you're like me, you forget, and later on I thought, Lord, forgive me, cause I should have asked and pray for this person.
Just say, if I like you. I like you all right. You're all right, yeah.
I said, if you're
like me. Oh, if you're like me.
I like you okay and stuff. I tolerate you.
Yeah. Well, if folks wanted to give us a call and tolerate us, how would they do that?
They could give us a call at 606-789-0318, 606-789-0318. You can email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com. It's godspointofview@yahoo.com. You can also check out our live video on our Facebook page, God's Point of View. And the great Scott has this cellular device he just laid down. And
I
if you want to text him anytime or give him a call, you can do that.
367-0137. I think most everybody would know out of the area to dial 606. But 606-367-0137. I'm not sure what happens if you dial 606 in the area.
I don't know if anything happens, actually.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
We'll have tried that sometime.
Anyway, you can give us a call. You can, you can call us. You can email us. You can text us. But as the comedian said years ago, remember that line when he said, you can call me Ray, you can call me Ray J, you can go, Anyway, we're starting out with a little levity today, and I'll tell you what the Bible says, a merry heart's a good medicine.
Yes.
And if we ever needed a merry heart, we need one, based on what's going on in Washington, D.C.
Oh,
my. Judge, Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
And Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. That hearing is underway now.
Just got started.
Even as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And even
what
last
night.
What a travesty. I think it's a travesty. Last night, of course, you were in bed, sound asleep.
Probably.
Because you got to get up 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. So we were watching the news last night, and breaking news. Two men have stepped forward and said, hey, this is not him, it's us.
Really?
Yeah, case of mistaken identity.
See, I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know this.
Yeah, see, I told you went to bed too early.
No, wait a minute. If guys step forward, they're looking at possibly being prosecuted.
Well, you know, I don't know how far back the limitations go on. Limitations, is that what it's called?
How long, I know what you're talking
about. How far back you can be guilty.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He'll come to me here in a minute.
Judge Kavanaugh of course, has denied this over and over again. And
he has strongly and firmly, I'm not saying the truth will come out, I hope.
I hope so.
But when he says, I mean, he's emphatic about it. There's no wishy-washiness whatsoever. Yeah. He just says it's not true.
Yeah. Someone said the other night on an interview with McCallum, Martha McCallum on Fox News, that he seemed a little timid. And they wanted him to come out stronger. And then someone else said, well, remember, he's a judge.
Yeah, yeah.
And judges, judges, their emotion is left out of the situation oftentimes. And yet, I don't know how the man can be as calm, really, as he is being charged like he's being charged.
I just wonder underneath if he's really that calm. And not only for him, but his wife and his family.
Exactly.
And my theory is, on this, if people are making that sort of thing up,
yes, sir.
I don't care if it's on a Supreme Court justice. I don't care if it's just the guy that lives under the bridge. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you make that kind of accusation, and I'm not saying because I don't know, it may very well be true, but if you make an accusation that is not true, you should be prosecuted for that.
Well, I think so, and I think some of our senators are responsible for this circus, this dog and pony show.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, when I left home a few moments ago, to come here to WSIP studios here in Paintsville. The Senator Feinstein was trying to justify why she held on to that information as long as she did.
For 6 weeks.
Yeah, so everybody, you know, the Bible says every man's way is right in his own eyes.
In his own eyes.
What we need to learn to do is to go to the Word of God. And I like several things the judge said the other night in that interview that I referenced a moment ago. But one of the things he said was that he had faith in God.
Yeah.
And I believe that's crucial. And I think it's important. This nomination is important for our country.
Absolutely.
Our country has been for over 30 years. 30 years nothing. 45. Yeah. For 45 years.
Is that 35 years?
That's 45, I believe. We've been, we need help. We need statisticians here.
You'd think we'd need somebody who knew some financials.
Yeah. Yeah. You would think so. Yeah. we have murdered over 60 million babies.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that hits the core of why all this stuff's going on.
I think it is too. I really do. When Judge Kennedy retired, Judge Kavanaugh, of course, was put up immediately, and he would replace, if confirmed, he would replace Justice Kennedy, and that would result in a 5-4 conservative majority. Many believe, and while he was asked the question, are you going to restore do away with Roe v. Wade, and he won't respond to any of those kinds of questions.
Very smart man.
Very smart man. And so we'll have to see how the thing turns out. But I'll tell you who I like on the Senate Judiciary Committee. I like Brother, if I miss him in Christ, I've got him in Adam, Charles Grassley. Mm-hmm. I like the way he's conducting it.
Yes.
He's, where's he from, Idaho or Iowa or Kansas or someplace out there?
That I'm not sure, because I haven't seen him a lot. I did see him just briefly
on some of the
footage.
I love to watch him.
But he's not, I mean, the emotion or the accusation, all that, I mean, he's not swayed. He is.
No.
He's like rock solid.
He's an 85-year-old middle America.
Seasoned
politician.
Absolutely.
And don't equate politicians with a bad word. Politics is, can be very negative and can be very bad, and we all know that.
However,
we need government, God's second institution, third institution, the home, second institution, government, and then the church.
Yes.
Three divine institutions, and we need them all.
Yeah.
In order to function. I believe it has been. You know, things have changed a lot, Timotheus and folks. 1949, May 22nd, if you're thinking about sending gifts. On May 22nd, 1949, every time I go to the drugstore, pharmacy, they want my date of birth, you know. Mm-hmm. And I always accuse the little ladies of wanting to buy me birthday gifts.
And, at least a card.
Like the ladies, sometimes little ladies will call, these young girls will call and say, "Preacher, will you marry me?" And I always respond by saying, "My wife would never understand." So, it was 1949 when I was born into this world. And in that same year, Gallup was doing polls. Gallup's had been doing polls, seemed like, from time immemorial.
Yeah.
But in 1949, 92% of Americans identified as Christians.
92%?
92%. Only 2% said they had no religion.
Yeah.
But in recent years...
We are losing ground.
Oh, mercy. 59% last year, 59% of Americans identified as Christians. 59%.
Yeah.
Big difference. 20% said they had no religion at all. Listen to this, Timotheus, because I know you're a numbers guy. 59% of baby boomers, like me, mm-hmm. say religion is very important in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
38% of younger millennials, that's born 1990 to 1996, they agree. They agree.
Hmm.
You know, I grew up, somebody asked me one time, did you grow up in church? Were you a Baptist? Were you a Methodist? What were you? I said, I was a heathen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up a heathen.
Yeah.
Other people going to church around me, I never did go to church. Christmas, Easter time, that kind of thing. And, but a lot of people went to church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
In 1967, at the old Mealy Church of Christ, September 10th, as a matter of fact, I gave my life to Christ and was baptized into Christ that night. And haven't been perfect certainly since those days, but I've tried to walk with the Lord, and if I fall back, I get up again. The Bible says just man falls seven times, but he gets up again
and tries again.
Yes, yes, sir.
Yeah.
So 67. We've already tried to do the math here a minute ago and couldn't do it. 67 to 18. That's 51 years, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. And for 44 of that, preached to nearly 45, preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Still preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I think it's important that we speak out more clearly today than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you a couple of things that have happened that come to my mind. I was just a boy when the Bethel Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, was bombed.
Hmm.
By Ku Klux Klan members, killing four little girls.
Yep.
Now, you know, since growing up, getting married, having two girls,
mm-hmm.
and now I have six grandchildren, mm-hmm. three of them are girls, those kinds of things are more important to me today than when you're little.
Absolutely.
A lot of things have happened. Virginia's governor, you might remember, threatened to shut down any school that had forced integration. 13 blacks were arrested for sitting in front of a bus in Birmingham, Alabama. On and on and on we could go. Where our country has been,
yeah,
but where we are today.
Doesn't say that defines us.
Does not. It does not.
Just like your life.
Just like your life.
Yeah.
My point is this. If there was ever a time that Christians need to speak,
yeah,
it is now.
Yeah.
It is now. I'll tell you, I get a little, I don't have as much patience for, spineless,
jellyfish.
What would you call it? Jellyfish. Yeah. especially in our pulpits.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah. Just afraid to run somebody off, afraid to tell the truth.
Well, it's excused away as being broad-minded.
Yeah.
You know, my mind is open. I don't have any particular beliefs about this or that. I try to view all sides and keep an open mind.
I don't remember Jesus ever doing that.
He never did. And when a person does this, and especially in the pulpit, he embraces what I would call a shallowness.
Yeah.
And it's infectious. It spreads throughout a whole church.
You mean like leaven?
Kind of like leaven.
Huh.
Yeah, that's good. Wish I'd thought of that. Did you know a river, maybe 3 miles long, but if it's only 3 inches deep?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got that, didn't you?
You're not going to float a boat.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you know the difference between a swamp and a river, Timotheus? The difference is that one has banks and one runs in a channel. The other is broad and spreads itself all over.
Yeah.
I think it is possible to be lacking in conviction, and that leads to spinelessness. Christians Christians have a responsibility to speak like never before. I heard about a preacher one time. He was a liberal-minded kind of a fella.
Mm-hmm.
And he resigned his pastorate. And one of his members came up to him and said, here's a quote now. He said, "Oh, how we feel the loss of your leaving." And then he said, "You know, before you came, I cared not for God nor man nor the devil.
Hmm.
But under your fine preaching, I've come to love all three."
Oh my goodness!
Listen, folks.
Oh my goodness!
No one will ever no one will ever accuse me of sweetness. It is possible. It is possible to destroy the Christian faith in sweetness,
true,
in perfume, in broad-minded conviction and convictionless liberalism. Take a stand. I might not agree with it, but I'll respect you a lot more.
And there is a difference between sweetness and love.
Amen.
Don't get those two confused.
Absolutely.
Because it doesn't mean that you have to be hard-nosed and never have a smile on your face, never a good thing to say.
Absolutely.
You don't have, because I've always had the, back later, earlier in life,
yeah,
that it was hard and it was, nobody smiled and it was just, you know, you had to drive,
yeah,
just, you know, pound, yeah, and you don't have to do that, but you're right. The sweetness and open-minded and allowing, you know, this idea and that idea.
Why is this so important, Timotheus? Why is this so important? It is so important because the answers, as they always are, to all of our problems,
yep,
are spiritual.
Yeah.
Because our problems are spiritual problems.
Yeah.
And so, one example of that, 2 Samuel chapter 5, David's just become the king. And the United Tribes, you know, there was a time, and I know you know this because you're going through the Family Bible Hour on Sunday mornings at the Highland Church, 821 Euclid Avenue.
It starts at 9:30.
Starts at 9:30. And there was a time that the kingdom was all together.
Mm-hmm.
There was three kings. There was. I'll test you now. What were the three kings?
Don't test me this morning.
Saul, David, Solomon. And the kingdom was all together. Then the kingdom divided. And David, but in 2 Samuel 5, David has just become king of the tribes of Israel. His archenemies, the Philistines, some call it the Philistines, I forgave them a long time ago, Philistines, they mounted this assault against David with many soldiers. Verse 18 says, quote, spread out in the valley of Rephaim. Oh, boy, Rephaim. Spread out. I mean, that's a bunch of soldiers.
I was going to say, if you're covering the valley, it's a bunch.
Now, what did David do? What did David, the great warrior king, and he was a warrior.
Well, I mean, he killed Goliath, so yeah, he probably never got over that.
Yeah. Well, what did he do? His first response in this crisis, was it to mount an offensive?
Mm-hmm.
Did he retreat?
Mm-hmm.
David inquired of the Lord.
Yeah.
Verse 19. How much praying do you really think is going on in the Senate today? Or are there...
Or people or citizens of the United States praying?
Absolutely. I was going there next.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many people in the Senate are praying, or are they looking for their I am Spartacus moment?
Yeah. That was a...
What a shame.
What a statement.
He's pathetic. All right. So David inquires of the Lord, and God led him to attack and defeat the enemy. So how do you know to do that? God communicated that to David.
Yeah.
How do I know what God wants me to do? First ask him.
Yeah.
That'd be a pretty good place to start.
How do you know for sure when you get the answer?
That's always a good question. God always answers, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He says yes, no, or wait.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I have tried this over and over again, and I would recommend it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is I ask God for something, and then I wait 3 days.
Yeah.
Because if you don't wait for God to answer, what's the point in asking him?
Yeah.
Ask him, God, show me what you want me to do. And then get real quiet.
And be patient.
And be patient and wait. I choose to wait 3 days because 3 days in the New Testament is very important.
Very important.
The apostles' faith, they felt destroyed on Friday, but on Sunday, 3 days later, yes, the Jews counted any portion of a day as a whole day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
The skeptics like to criticize, say, oh, in 3 full days. Oh, come on, bless your little hearts. Find something better than that. Do your homework.
Is that all you got?
Is that all you got? How big a boy are you anyway? So, 3 days. Jesus was in the grave 3 days. On the third day, he came forth. And so God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. I try to base my life on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that it works. So on the third day, when I wake up, the first thing comes to my mind about what I've been praying about, that's what I go with. If I feel negative about it, I believe it's the Spirit of God speaking to my spirit. Our spirit bears witness with His spirit that we are the children of God. Look out now. I'm getting ready to preach. Now,
hold on, brother.
We're the children of God. And if we ask God, God will impress that upon our spirits today. Turn me down a little bit here.
Okay. I got you, brother.
So David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord led him to attack. Now, wait a minute. It's not over. The Lord, the Philistines, that dirty dog, yellow belly, if I just knew some cuss words, tell me some quick.
No.
So the Philistines returned.
Yeah,
verse 22. Come back for some more. So David inquired of the Lord again.
Yeah.
Verse 23.
They're back, Lord.
This time he was told. This is what he was told now. Verses 24 and 25, for those of you who are following.
Mm-hmm.
You shall not go up. The first time he told him, go on, whoop up on him.
Yeah.
Now he says, you shall not go up. Go around to their rear and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then rouse yourself. Mm-hmm. For then the Lord has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines. That's verse 24 and 25. And the Bible says in verse 25, David did as the Lord commanded him and struck down the Philistines from Geber to Gezer. So the rustling of the trees was the sign.
Yeah.
What is God's sign for you? Somebody said to me one time, said, I put out the fleece today, preacher. Well, I knew exactly what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we have to, like Gideon sometimes, we have to be shown. And God is not devastated when you show some kind of doubt. God is not saying, oh no, he doubted me. God will help you with that doubt.
Mm-hmm.
He did with Thomas.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. By the way, Thomas wouldn't have had to spend a whole week in doubt if he'd been in church.
True.
Because the Lord appeared to them, you know, on one Sunday evening.
But Thomas wasn't there.
Yeah. But they went after him. That's another lesson. I'll tell you, there's just one lesson right after the other, Timotheus. 789-0318. That's the lesson as far as giving us a call is concerned. And if you'd like to do that, we've got about 7 minutes left on the broadcast. And so what's the whole point of that? The whole point is this. Inquire of the Lord.
Yeah.
And I'm not suggesting that what's going on in Washington, I'm not suggesting that they have not inquired of the Lord. But I don't think the majority have.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah. We get swept up so much in our lives with emotion and everything going on around that, being ashamed to say it, that we don't stop and think.
We do not.
We need to pray and ask the Lord.
We got a phone call. We don't have to pray about that. We know what He wants us to do.
Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
I have two questions, actually.
Hey, brother, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing all right. Ask away.
Okay. My first question is whenever you pass away and you go on to heaven, what is your body? Do you go as what you are whenever you pass away, like whenever you go to heaven, or do you, like, what will your body look like? I'm asking, like, whenever you pass away at 89, is that what you're going to be in heaven, or?
All right. Let me try to answer that. Stay on the line with us, will you?
Oh, yes, sir, will.
The Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when a person dies, their body is put in the ground. Or it seems like today a lot of people are being cremated. But the point is, the body is dead. James tells us in James chapter 2, the body is dead because of the absence of the spirit. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes that the body returns to the dust from whence it came. But the spirit returneth to God who gave it. So, I said all that to say this. Our bodies are put in the ground, but our spirit immediately goes, if you're a Christian now, you're talking about a Christian man, right?
Yes, yes.
Your spirit, if you're a Christian man, your spirit immediately goes to be with the Lord. Check 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 and 8. We walk by faith, but what is seen is not faith. Then he goes on to say, to be absent from the body, that's when you die,
mm-hmm.
is to be present with the Lord. We will not get our new spiritual body until the Lord returns. Now, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here. I want to just try to stick with your question. Your physical body is buried, and on the great resurrection day, that body will come forth, be a new body. A new body fashioned like unto Jesus. Jesus' body is the pattern for our new bodies.
Okay.
When Jesus arose from the dead, he had a body that looked a whole lot like the body he had when he was here. Did you ever farm any?
Yeah,
All right, you planted corn, haven't you?
Oh, many a time.
All right, so you plant that corn and you wait. And you need a good, slow rain on that and a little sunshine, right?
Correct.
What happens then? First the stalk, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. You shuck that corn, and what have you got on that roasting air? Little kernels of corn. Have you noticed that they're pretty similar to the one you planted in the ground?
Yeah, I never thought of that.
That's exactly what Jesus wants us to think of about our bodies. Our bodies will be planted, they will decompose, but from that comes, praise God, a new body.
Amen.
Amen.
A spiritual body.
Amen. Does that help you?
And I think, tell me if I'm wrong, and you're wondering what kind of age our spiritual body may have. Is that part of your question?
It is,
How old was Jesus?
33.
I think that's exactly what we're going to experience. Here's the reason why. 1 John chapter 3. I hope you're writing these down.
I am.
If you miss any of it, you can go to our website later and pull up God's Point of View for today, and you can listen to the whole thing over again.
Okay.
1 John chapter 3 tells us that it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. How was he when the disciples saw him? He was still the same Jesus. We're going to have a body like he is, meaning a young body.
Okay.
And we're going to have a body that will eat. We're going to eat food. We're going to be able to walk through walls. We're going to be able to, by thought, be transported to different places where we want to go. Oh, mercy, I can't wait to get there.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, my second question.
All right.
Adam lived for hundreds of years, correct?
He did.
He was an old-timer.
Okay, so I'm just wondering, people say, why would God do that to someone for cancer? But God doesn't give anyone cancer.
No, he doesn't.
My question is, the lifespan over, the sin of from Adam to now, has that created the cancer and has that made lifespan shorter?
No. No, it hasn't created the cancer. The reason the folks in what's called in Timotheus, you'll remember this now because it's in the Family Bible Hour, the patriarchal dispensation, the Mosaical dispensation, and the Christian dispensation. There have been three.
And we're in the Christian dispensation right now.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah.
We are in the Christian dispensation and the last one, by the way. But you see, when God first got started, people had to live longer in order to populate the earth.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, brother, we hope we've helped.
And one more thing. Yeah. Statue of Limitations.
The what?
Statue of Limitations.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Bless
thank
your heart.
You. Bless you, brother.
All right, guys. God bless.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for the question.
Bye-bye.
Statue of Limitations.
Statue of Limitations. Timothy, what's the matter with you?
He helped us out.
He did. It's 10:59. I guess we better go, ain't we?
Well, we've got maybe a second or two. You got anything else you want to say before we close?
Yeah, I love the Lord. I know that.
By the way, your three granddaughters, Millie came for the first time last night, just ran to me and jumped to me, gave me a big hug.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get close to her, you know.
Well, listen, the next time you see her, she may run the other way.
She might do
She does me that way sometimes.
She's a sweetheart. Folks, thanks for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. We'd like to invite you to services at the church. As Jerry said, we've got the Family Bible Hour going on during Sunday school, which starts 9:30 Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m. for Sunday morning worship, life groups Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. So please come and be with us. And thanks again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.